Ready to hear the word of God now, right? I think there's a slight theme going through our service this morning. It has something to do with change, correct? Sounds like it, change. And the thing of it is, we all know that we're all in the process of change, are we not? We're going from glory to glory. That's what the word of God tells us, that we're here as a church particularly to help people grow spiritually. And growth means change. It means being different than you were a minute ago, growing more and more in Christ's likeness, being more and more like him. So this morning, we're going to mind our P's and Q's, okay? We have guests here, everyone? Yes? No. Oh, it won't. Don't worry. But interestingly enough, you remember that phrase from when you were a child, right? I don't know about you, but I grew up in an era where I would visit my cousins and things of that nature in Rhode Island. And before I would go to my cousin's home, my mother would always say to me, "Now, Joyce, mind your P's and Q's." Now, not that I was a problematic child or anything. Not that I got into things or anything. Not that I was like, you know, what can I mess around with today, right? No, none of those things. But, you know, I learned early on that, and then, like, you know, really, when you're in someone else's house, you have to really behave in a different way, right, than what you might do at home, right? And when you're in God's house, certainly, this is the reverent place. We're in the holy temple of God. We act differently than we here than we are outside, right? No. Oh, caught you, didn't I? Because where are we supposed to mind our P's and Q's? Everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, because we are called to be the light of Christ, right? Everywhere we go, we're ambassadors for him. We are examples of him. We're out to show the world what a Christian really is like. That means we're like Christ and Christ-like, correct? So everywhere we go, we must mind our P's and Q's, correct? Yes. And guess what? A little bit later, I'm going to tell you what those P's and Q's are. Aren't you glad that I'm going to give you some guidance this morning, that you can actually leave this place with some words that will, as you go from here, you'll be able to take them with you. How about that? Sound good? All right. But before we do that, let's go to 2 Peter. Because in 2 Peter, beginning in the first verse, this was written when Peter the apostle, we all know Peter from the scriptures, what a wonderful man he became in Christ. We know that he was the first preacher and the first pastor of any church, and we know that he proclaimed the good news of Jesus throughout the world, and we know that he became a great example of personal sacrifice and living the principles of what it meant to be a Christian, right? We know that about Peter. And in 2 Peter, this is the time in which he's getting ready to die. His life is drawing to a close, and so he writes to the church, which he's writing to our church as well, because we are the church, the body of Christ, all of us together throughout the world. We are the body, one Lord, one shepherd, one God, one head, Jesus Christ, right? We all know that. And so Peter writes this letter, and it says, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ." He knew his place. "I am writing to all of you who share the same precious faith we have, faith given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who makes us right with God. May God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our Lord and God, better and better." See, Peter is telling us all, we have to get to know Christ more and more, better and better, closer and closer, more and more intimately. That also means that we must share who we are with him on a regular basis as well, right? And he's going to help us mind our P's and Q's, isn't he? Yes, he will. "As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life." That's our first and foremost, always number one P, prioritizing, right? Putting God first. Living a godly life, being like God, pleasing God, another good P, please God. So you prioritize, put God first, and then you do everything in your power to please God above anyone or anything else. So there's two good P's, don't you think, so far? "He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. our promises. All the promises that Jesus gave to Peter. Remember the last night he was alive, he said, ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. If you obey my commands, ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. Love one another. That's exactly what he told the disciples to do, right? And he said, one day, he said, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the age, forever and ever. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. That's just a smattering, a small smattering of what Jesus' promises were to Peter. Peter heard it with his own ears. Peter was also promised, as we're also promised, eternal life. Life that lasts forever and ever, all the way out in the presence of God. Imagine just being in the presence of God 24/7. Isn't that a good P to be in? There's a good presence of God, another great P that's real important in our lives. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. His divine nature, not the nature of the world, not human nature, because how many of us are human? Mm-hmm. And how many of all around us we see worldly things going on? All kinds of temptations, all kinds of choices we can all make, right? On a human level, correct? There's all kinds of things out there that can be a bad P in my mind, right? Because if you have your priorities messed up, before you know it, you're adhering to some of the pressures of other people, correct? Sometimes. So there's negative P's too, aren't there? So pressure from others, what they might persuade us to do, you have to be cautious of. But the Holy Spirit will guide you to have more of a divine nature. Divine. What does that sound like? Sounds godly. Sounds a person who knows the right choices to make, the right path to take, to please God in all things, to be obedient to God, right? That's what we know our divine nature is all about. Someone who's full of love, peace, joy, kindness, tenderness, all those kinds of things, correct? All right. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. And a life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Anybody in the room need a little self-control? Especially when the ice cream carton's in the refrigerator. Especially when it's 2 for $7 and your friends text it to you and say, oh, go to Publix, it's 2 for $7. That's yeah, that's the good stuff, baby. And they have a new flavor that my partner discovered. Peach ice cream. Oh. Over which, oh, I know, I lost the crowd right then and now. Another P, exactly. A bad P. Oh, a good P. Self-control. How many of us have trouble with self-control besides me, right? Are there not some things out there all the time? The least little thing, I'm an impetuous person, impulsive, a bad eye sometimes, right? I don't always, I succumb to those pressures outside of me, right? Those temptations, correct? Do we all not do that? Now listen, if we want to have a life of moral excellence, we have to know God more. What does God want us to do? What if you consulted God before every decision you ever made? What if you, here, I'm going to give you a cue now because I left off the cues, didn't I? What if you, every time you did anything, you asked a question. What do you want me to do, God? What would you have me do? Will this please you, God, if I do this and make this choice? See, when we question God about our actions or our thoughts or our decisions, and we ask a question, see, that's a great way to live a life, isn't it? Questioning God. What would you have me do? You know, that person did such and thus to me. What should I do about them, God? Should I go tell them off? Give them a piece of my mind? Knowing I only have a little bit left, but needless to say, is that what you would have me do? What if you asked that question before you did anything? How many of you shoot off at the mouth every once in a while? There's a lack of self-control there too, isn't it? How many of us just can't control our emotions, right? You see how knowing God better, God's will for us? The beautiful thing about Jesus as the example in humanity, although he was God, he was also perfectly human. What he would do is he would listen to God before he did anything. And Jesus was not a responsive, reactive person, was he? He could have been. Right? When he was confronted by the Pharisees, when he was confronted and questioned even by his own disciples, when he was questioned by what do you think you're doing, you know, healing on the Sabbath? Jesus consulted with God. He went to God and asked a question. What will you have me say? Should I speak or be silent? If we would live our life by knowing God in that personal level, you know, really being so connected that the Holy Spirit guides and directs everything we say and do. When you question God before you do anything, I promise you, you'll have a better life. You'll have less conflict. You'll have less things to mop up later. Anybody have to go back after the fact and undo a mess that you made? No? Okay. Okay. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Patient endurance. What do we know of patient endurance? What does that mean? There's a P there, isn't there? Patience. Patient endurance. Endurance to me means obviously that there's something you're having to endure, something you have to overcome, something that's really you're not getting through yet, correct? And maybe you're even in pain of some type, or you're having to make tough decisions sometimes, right? Or you're having to endure a certain aspect of your life or a circumstance that isn't pleasant. Anybody enduring anything right now, maybe? Going through some things in life? But look, it teaches us here that it says that, obviously, that if you have self-control, which is knowing God more, and if you go to God in prayer, oh, there's a good P, right? You go to God in prayer and ask for God to take care of what you're going through. That's how you have patient endurance. But you notice that these are stair steps, right? We're talking about growth, aren't we? And change. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. You notice how we have to love the Christians first? Isn't that odd? How is it that if you can love a Christian, you can love everybody else? Why do you suppose Peter's talking about that? Well, I look at it this way. Sometimes the most religious people can be the biggest problems in our life, can't they? Can they not be the most judgmental from time to time? They're the know-it-alls. And they're going to tell you how to live your life? Because there's a bad P there, a Pharisee, even though the P is silent. Pharisaical, they're finger pointers. They point out wrongs to other people, correct? So listen, if you can't get along with other believers in Christ who are godly people, right? Well, how are you possibly going to get along with people in the world who are not godly? Do you see the point? You got to get along with one another first. You got to show Christ's love to those that are in the family of God. Then that perfects you, right? Correct? You become more Christ-like. And then once you figure that out, because it's a process, correct? You know there are people that are Christians? There are people in a church? People that have flaws? People that are imperfect? Did you know that? I didn't know if you knew that. But you know, because as soon as we became Christians, we became perfect, right? Huh? No. See, perfectionism is a bad P. When you are trying or expecting other people to be perfect or yourself to be perfect, that is never going to work, is it? Because there's only one perfect human being that ever walked the planet, Jesus Christ himself. Correct. So, and what Peter's talking about here, he says, have genuine love for everyone. Because see, I see what I call sometimes a bad P is plastic love. You know? I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you. I'm praying for you, you dirty dog. I'm praying for you. I can't stand you, but... You know, you see what Sister Mary had on her head today? She looked like a... I don't know what. She shouldn't be coming into church. Sister Mary, I'm so happy to see you. What you doing, baby? I'm so glad you're in church. Oh, you can sit right over there. I got my space over here saving for somebody else. Plastic. Pretending to love. Isn't there enough pretending in the world today? Don't you want genuine, sincere love? And sometimes genuine and sincere love can be tough love. It can be really telling you like it is. Really saying to you, you know what? You hurt my feelings. This isn't okay with me. This is how I feel. I still love you, but you can't treat me this way. Right? I'll forgive you. That's genuine love. And really forgiving. You know, because I love the people in the church that say, Pastor, I can forgive, but I will never forget. I think I sometimes have, instead of sheep, I got elephants. They just remember everything. I remember the time that so-and-so did such and thus, and you did this and that. You can remember that, but you can't remember some other things, right? God said that he remembers our sins no more. That is Christ-likeness, to forget our sins, to forget what you did, to forget how awful you were, to forget how much you fell short. That's what God gives to us. And genuine love, the love that Christ has for his church and for his people, so much love that he gave his very life in a brutal way to prove his love for us and to prove the value of forgiveness and not to be fake about it. Oh, I've forgiven them, but I don't want them sitting near me in church. What is that about? I'm going to tie it together one of these days. Some of you and your enemies, so you think they are. Oh, I went off on a tangent, sorry. See, I think the worst P there is pride. And you know, the interesting thing about the word pride is pride can be a positive thing. You're proud of some things you do, right? When you do the right thing, when you say the right thing, when you go down that narrow path, and when you really do forgive, and you really do forget, and you really do love, don't you feel good about yourself? Doesn't that make you feel better about you? When you let go of resentments, when you put down those hammers and stones and all those other things that you want to toss at other people, correct? When you lay all that stuff aside and you cast away all of even your own sins and you forgive yourself, right? And you're set free of that. Don't you feel proud in a good way, right? But there's also that other pride where, to me, it's really putting yourself first. You know, knowing your position in life. I think each and every one of us need to learn our position. We are below God, in case you didn't know it. And other people are above us. See, that's called humility, the opposite of pride. When you will put others before you and care for them more than your own ego, which is what pride, where it comes from, right? How I feel, what happened to me, and what this did to me. It's all about your personal self, right? And sometimes it's an erroneous inflation of your ego, making yourself feel big by putting someone down, another bad P, right? Pride is a sin, one of the seven deadly sins, in case you didn't know it. Pride will stop people from communicating with each other. Pride is what gets its feelings hurt when they don't get, you know, their right position or whatever the case might be, and also trying to overpower other people. That's what pride does. Pride is something that we all must set aside. And Jesus taught us that, did he not? Humility, humbleness. He became a servant of all. That's a good P, isn't it? Knowing your position and putting others above yourself. So, I'll move on. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive in a positive way. There's a couple of positive P's for you, right? Be productive. Produce good fruit. You'll be productive in God's kingdom. You'll help to move it forward, right? When you put away your pride, when you're willing to say, I made a mistake, when you're willing to say, I was wrong, when you're willing to say, okay, even though you were wrong, I'm still going to be in relationship with you anyway. Right? You'll be useful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a letter from Peter. Now, we know that Peter wasn't perfect, was he? We also know that Peter was changed by God, wasn't he? We also know that Peter was somebody who learned to question himself. Where was he in his walk in life? Did it glorify God? Did it do what God would call him to do? Or did it harm somebody else? He learned to question his motives, why he did what he did. And that brings me to a very important P for all of us, and that is purpose. When you know your purpose in life is to bring people to Christ, that you are a light in the darkness, that you are somebody that somebody looks at, and when you profess that you're a Christian, they're looking at you, they're watching your behavior, they're listening to your words, they're going to see what does it mean to really be a Christian. And if you put on the plastic smile and say all the pretty words and do all that and pretend with people, they can smell a rat, can't they? Right? We all know false teachers and false people, don't we? We all know the Judases that sometimes lurk around us, don't we? And how do you know that? Well, the proof is in the fruit. You always know a person by the fruit, by what they produce. If you're producing good in your life, that tells me that if you're blessing others, if you're helping others, if you're serving God, and if you're creating more and more joy in other people's lives, good for you. You're producing fruit. You're producing an attitude and an altitude that other people can emulate and go after as well. Correct? So, let's see if I have any more. Anybody have any good peas that they would like to throw out? And I'll just make this one of the examples that maybe you can think about. Peace, prosperity, perseverance, persistence. Passion for God. Possibilities, correct? Peace. Someone said it, they need it. Now listen, each and every one of us must pursue godliness, right? Yes? Yes? Now, in order to do that, that means our human nature has to change. Our godly nature must take over. We see that throughout scriptures. You can read it in Romans 12, if you want to read later. Paul also talked to the church in Rome and told them what it would take in order to be a good follower of Christ. And one of the P's he used was to tell that Roman church to pursue Christ in everything that they do. And if you also read and keep moving throughout the scriptures, you can go to Galatians 5, because we know that in Galatians 5 it tells us what is produced by what we do, correct? The gifts of the Spirit. Gentleness, kindness, peace, patience. Oh, self-control. They had to put that one in there again. And lastly, in 1 Timothy, Timothy was a young pastor. And Paul talked to Timothy. And Paul was telling him before he died and passing on to Timothy the kind of life that he would have to lead and should lead. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, he says, Timothy, you are a man of God. Run from all evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Sometimes some of us, that gentleness doesn't always come across, does it? Especially when we're passionate for Christ and we want to tell people what they ought to be doing, right? And how they ought to live. And we have to do it with a gentle spirit and guide them ever so softly as the gentle shepherd does. You can't ever help a person change by just yelling and screaming at them. Do you ever notice that about children or animals or other people? Gently, gently rebuke, the Bible tells us. And it says, fight the good fight for true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. And help other people change, Timothy. So Timothy was a young pastor. Peter was the senior pastor, if you will. In either case, both of them, as well as Paul, were talking to the church, trying to help the church mind its P's and Q's. So one of the P's that you're going to do from this moment forward is you're going to spend time in the presence of God, correct? Presence of God, number one. Everybody have a finger. May I see the number one finger? Presence of God. Number two, prioritize, correct? Three, pray. Correct? Four, praise. Oh, how did we leave out praise? And the fifth one, pursue godliness. Pursue it. Chase after it. So if you should forget as the week goes by and you say, well, that was a pretty great sermon the pastor gave the other day and she showed us the fingers. And and I know it means something. How easy we go down that road. But when you give somebody a high five, right, you're going to know that, number one, your presence, being in the presence of God daily is critical. And when I mean being in the presence, I mean being at his word, being at his feet, listening to his voice, right? And put God first, please. Pray daily. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. And praise. Even in the midst of problems, praise. Praise your way out of it. Praise, praise, praise. Hold tightly to praise. Like, just get a grip on it all the time. If you'll praise more and pray and praise and pray and prioritize and be in the presence of God all the time, I promise you, the P's and the Q's will take care of themselves, won't they? And please, question. Question God before you say or do anything. Stop a moment. Listen. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. That's a promise Christ gave, that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all things. That's how you'll be able to move through the changes that all of you want to make to be more like Christ, right? So you ready, church, to mind your P's and Q's from this day forward? Give me five. Amen.